Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, host of the Chris Miles Money Show, cash flow expert, and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur, showing you and teaching you how to create greater freedom and prosperity today, not just 30, 45,000 years from now. So, hey, I'm excited to be here today. Got a little bit late start, but I just wanted to let you know this is going to be a fun episode, one I think is of vital importance and one that's not taught nearly enough. But before we get into that today, just want to remind you, be sure to check us out either on Facebook at our Money Ripples page, or you can also check us out at moneyripples.com. There's great things like blogs, there's ebooks, audios, you may name it, lots of great information that you can continue your education doing and really love, be able to really take this to the next level. All right, so today I want to talk about how networking is failing. You know, why is that failing? Why does it seem like that when so many people go to networking events, and even when we go to networking events, especially those of us in business, why does it feel like that we almost have to shower after we're done? You know, why do we feel so dirty or almost feel just kind of crazy just even going to those kind of things? And you go there and you wonder if people are just showing up just to get something from you, and it's a kind of a dog-eat-dog type of environment. And I don't really want to address that because I believe there's a better and higher way of creating relationships that actually serve the same purpose that you would hope to get from networking, but do it much, much better. The great thing is you can be just about anywhere and do it, but it's something that definitely has to come into practice, and it's something that has to start from you first on a personal level. So here's the thing that I see with networking, and I'll just have you picture this in your mind for just a moment, is picture in mind you're walking into a room. You know, there's several other entrepreneurs and business owners there. They're all chatting and talking. You know, you hear lots of different voices, people laughing, people discussing, some people intense, some people kind of light. And you walk in that room, and immediately walks up the person, big smile on their face, nice big warm smile. They come right up to you and immediately just say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. You know, who are you? You know, what's your name? Great, what do you do?" And then you tell them what you do, and they say, "Great. Well, that sounds interesting. Well, hey, I do this. Here's my card. Take it." And then you take their card, and you move on, and another person comes up, and it's almost like speed dating, you know, but it's like speed networking in a lot of ways. It's just people are coming up, and they're just throwing out their card left and right. In fact, they're throwing out so much, it's almost like Chinese stars flying by you, like you're in a Jackie Chan movie or something. You're just trying to do all these acrobatic moves to avoid getting sliced up, right? And that's kind of what networking's been like, is that it's purely a place where you go to get sold, right? And a lot of people that go, they'll say, "Oh, do I have to go?" And you feel this conflicting self-interest because you want to go because you know that there could be somebody you meet there that could be worthwhile, could be a potential client, could be someone that could give you a referral. You know it can help you in business. But the problem is that you also have other people that are out there, and you start to wonder, you kind of feel a little bit icky afterwards because, you know, you're trying to get something from them, but they're just trying to get something from you. And so it's almost a take-take type of relationship when you go to networking events. You ever noticed that before? And that's part of the problem is that when we come from a place of scarcity, and especially a habitual scarcity, even if you don't necessarily come from a place of scarcity, if you've been trained to act in scarcity, it'll still create scarce results. So as you go to these events, you'll see a lot of people there that naturally they're going to these events because they're self-interest. There is nothing wrong with having self-interest. There's nothing wrong with wanting to receive value. The problem is that many people come to only receive value but never to give back. Their primary intention is to only receive value. Otherwise, they'll say it's not worth going. And so a lot of times those same people will hop from networking groups to networking groups. They'll go from different business functions or events to different functions, hoping that they'll find someone that they can connect with and at least be able to get as a customer or a client. The problem with this is that it's been done all wrong. You know, I've seen this in action. I've seen this happen. And in fact, I actually was this person in a lot of ways, even though I did try to give value too. It wasn't quite the same thing. You know, for example, when I was on a financial planner for those 4 years, you know, I actually joined a Chamber of Commerce group, and it was even a Leeds group. Like, we had a Leeds luncheon that we did every week. I really look forward to it. There's great people there. Love those people. There's some people that, you know, you just lit up the room, that you wanted to be around, and, you know, you really liked being among those people. What was funny is that I remember one year I actually really took it upon me to give a lot of referrals. And so by the end of that year, I had basically given out 25 referrals. For some people, it may not be that big, but, you know, for that group, it actually, I think I was the number one or maybe number two person that gave out the most referrals that year. And I'm thinking pretty proud of myself. But then I realized I wasn't getting referrals back. I had a couple self-referrals, but really, I hardly received any referrals in return. And it really drove me nuts. And instead of it really asking, you know, was it me, I started saying, well, gee, this group just, you know, they're just not giving enough. I'm the one that gives the most out of this group, and I get nothing in return, so why try? I'm going to leave this group. Now, granted, there could have been, I can guarantee there were people in scarcity there. I met with those people. In fact, those are the people that probably self-referred themselves. There's other people that were much more abundant. There were good people, and they would even say that they were friends of mine, but they wouldn't send me referrals. You know, now you could guess a variety of reasons why that was the case. You know, it easily could have been the fact that I was a financial advisor. A lot of business owners really realize, just like I teach, that financial advisors really don't look after the best interest of small business owners. In fact, they usually do things that are counterproductive to your business. That's why I teach differently today, or the exact opposite of what I used to teach back then. But I believe really a big part of that was because of how I showed up. Who was I being? Was I showing up as a person that was confident and abundant, not arrogant and scarce? Yeah, and I can guarantee I showed up pretty arrogant. You know, even without really knowing all the specifics, I can guarantee that I was about in that kind of place, especially later on. I became very knowledgeable in my trade, but the thing is that I was still in a scarcity mentality, believing that it was a win-lose scenario. And because I thought it was a win-lose scenario, it was very hard to try to give fully and be able to try to really serve people. I didn't show up to serve. I showed up to serve in hopes that people would reciprocate, and that works to some level, but it's not the full extent. If you find yourself in that situation where maybe you're going halfway, but it's not quite returning the results, it's probably because of the fact that you're going part way, but you're still in that scarcity mentality. And that's going to destroy you. That can really easily destroy your business. I never destroyed myself at a business, but definitely I didn't see a lot of productivity from networking functions like that. Now, let's talk about what we should really be doing. Let's talk about more from a state of abundance. When it comes to relationships, we got to look at it completely the opposite. If you've noticed by now, I kind of like to say things to be from the opposite standpoint, right? You know, I love the motto that Apple had, you know, especially in the 90s to early 2000s, of think different. Because it really comes down to that, is that you got to think about all these things differently. And especially if you've done the same thing over and over and gotten pretty cruddy results, you probably hope that you might want to try something different, correct? And so when I started to when things really started to turn around for me, and I've mentioned this on previous episodes, but let me give you a different angle from this point, is that when things really started to turn around for me, it was because I really started to seek after providing value for others. Not just to receive anything in return, but purely to be able to give value to them. And it wasn't totally altruistic. There was still self-interest there. I don't really believe in true altruism. I believe that there's always self-interest. Even among those that have done the most noble things in the world, still I believe there's a greater reward for them, and they knew that there's a greater reward than what the cost was. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth that quote-unquote investment of everything that they were giving, right? I really believe that there's always self-interest. I believe that's okay to have self-interest because we always want to grow. We always want to progress. We always want to become better and more. It's actually natural. I would even say it's our spiritual nature to want to become and progress and grow more. And so naturally in business, you want to do the same. It's only part of who you are. It's an extension of who you are. You want to become more. You want to make it better. And that's okay. The problem is when you start to believe in selfishness versus self-interest, when you truly believe that you have to take from somebody else to gain, or that somebody has to take from you in order to gain, but you have to lose out, that's when you start violating true principles. That's when you start to see that things aren't working. And so when I start to look at value and say, you know what, I know that there's an inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. It's not a probability. It's not even a possibility. It's not even more an assurance. It's an inevitability. It's guaranteed that when you offer and give value in a way that provides value for other people, it will come back, even if in different forms. It always comes back. And ultimately, I truly believe that when you start seeking after other people's real self-interest, you really start to increase your level of happiness, your joy, and that makes you more attractive. And when you become more attractive to people, more people want to serve you. So when people start going to networking events and it's purely from a what can I get from this type of attitude or what's in it for me type of attitude, I promise you that you will have a very frustrating time making money. You can still make money in that environment. But you might have to feel like you're a little bit inauthentic. You might have to kind of feel like you're bowling people over to make it happen. And I'm telling you, that is not a long-term business model. You will get frustrated, you will burn out, and you will give up. But if you truly seek after other people's self-interest, you truly look for ways to serve them in a way that you know that it's giving them more value than what you're taking. You're trying to create more value than what you're consuming from them. What you will notice is that things will go much easier and more smoothly. You know, in Japanese they say smoothen-y, right? You know, it goes a lot more smoothly. You start to realize that things become greater in your life. You start to realize that they start to respond to you and they want to create value for you in return, just naturally. And so when I go to networking events, I don't actually look for ways to just throw my business cards at people. In fact, people get a little frustrated with me at times because, especially when that networking group is solely tied on just passing out business cards, I've actually found that people get frustrated that I don't have business cards. I have a stack here behind me somewhere, probably about 100 business cards that I haven't handed out for years, or at least for the last year and a half. But I just don't bring business cards with me. My whole goal when I go to a networking group is to build a relationship with at least one or two people, period. If I build relationships with more, great, but I look to build deep, not just wide in the number of relationships. I want to see who I can connect with. I really start to feel and say, who do I feel attracted to today? Who do I feel like I can actually serve today and go talk to them? You believe it or not, I mean, even though I go and speak all over the place, a lot of times I'm not the type of person to really be just to jump in the center of the room and say, hey, everybody, look at me. You know, I'm not that kind of guy necessarily. I do kind of hang back on the sides a little bit. I might venture into the room a little bit, but I don't quite – I'm not the go-in-the-center-of-the-room kind of guy. You know, I tend to look for people that I feel like that really resonate, that I feel like maybe I can help. And so I really sense and see who I might connect with. And it's usually the most unexpected people. And a lot of times it's people that even, at least at face value, don't seem like they can help me in return. They don't seem like it, at least. You know, I will tell you, though, from my own personal experience, is that every person can help you one way or the other. In fact, I'm part of a great networking group right now. I hesitate to even call it a networking group because I don't like to refer to it as that, but I'm part of a group here in Utah that's starting to spread nationwide called Corporate Alliance. And they really try to foster a culture like this where they're all about how do we develop real relationships and even relationships outside of the office or the business settings. You know, how do we create more personal type relationships. And I love that. Tony Hsieh, who's the author of Delivering Happiness, he was the owner of Zappos, gives some great tools about this as well. In fact, he even says that oftentimes in relationships, you may not know how that person can serve you, but typically about a year and a half to 2 years or so down the road, maybe 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden that person might show up in a random way. It may not be that they become your client or customer, but they might connect you to somebody who could be someone that makes all the difference. And I'll tell you, one of the neatest relationships I've seen happen was with a woman that I've associated with. She's been in business. She's a professional speaker. She's a great businesswoman, and I've come to know her relatively well over the last 4 years. And what's interesting is that as I try to get to know her in general, it was a little bit tough. In fact, I remember trying to reach out to her, Facebook message her, in fact, and I said, hey, I would love to connect with you. And it took a while. In fact, it took about 4 messages before she finally replied and then said, yeah, let's do lunch. In fact, it took me even teasing her. I told her that. I said, hey, there's this woman, you know, I won't mention her name. I said, there's this woman out there that I've been trying to connect with. Do you know who she is? And of course, I'm mentioning her name. I'm saying about her, like talking about her in the third person. And so she finally came back and said, all right, let's do lunch. And we did. And it started a little bit of a business relationship, but it didn't really enhance and develop until about 9 months later when I went to serve her at her event for 3 days, free of charge, didn't even ask to speak or anything like that, had no real self-interest from a business standpoint other than I wanted to serve her. And what was neat is that after those 3 days, we went to brunch a few weeks later. She said to me, you know, I was amazed that you did what you did. I mean, you worked harder than a lot of the people that were there, and you had no self-interest. You had no pretentiousness. You weren't just trying to get gain. You weren't just trying to, you know, just go and sell the room. You were there to serve, and you showed up serving. And I truly can believe I can call you a trusted friend. And it was just a few months after that, just a few months ago from here, where I had an event, and she spoke at that event, and she said the same thing. She told people, she said, listen, I recommend Chris Miles to anybody that's looking for someone to help with finances, because I know that guy is not only is he good at what he does, but he's really truly got a heart of gold. He's truly a guy that wants to serve people. And I'll tell you, I wish I had that on video camera, because that was one of the coolest testimonials ever, you know. And that was something that was worth it to me. I mean, that was not overnight. Like I mentioned, I've known her for 4 years, and that was just less than a half a year ago when that happened. You know, it took several months, even years, to develop that kind of relationship. It doesn't always have to take that long, but for this particular person, it did. And I love it, because my business has been mostly referral type business, where people come into me through things like this. Is that it's because of the fact that I try to serve people where I am, and that naturally gets people come to me. Like, I love the fact that I don't have to go and spend thousands or tens of thousands of dollars advertising, because I have a reputation and a brand to uphold. And each of you do too. Each of you have that kind of brand to uphold. Each of you have something that's value that to offer somebody else, even if it's completely business unrelated. I can't tell you how many times I've had neighbors and people like that have come around my way, and you know, that just, you know, helps serve me in unexpected ways, whether in my business or in my personal life. And what's even cooler is that I'll tell you, of all the clients that I've had in probably about the last year to year and a half, I would say that most of these people I had not known for more than two years. There's a few people I did, but it's amazing how some of those people come into your life and you say, wow, I didn't even know who you were months ago. You didn't know who I was, but look at what's happening now. And it's so fun to be able to see that you don't have to stress and worry about in business. You don't have to go and force yourself in a networking group to get leads. You have no clue what kind of impact you're making in people's lives when you show up the right way, and you have no clue what impact you have in people's lives when you show up the wrong way. You know, you could create it's very hard to undo a damaged reputation. I'll tell you, there's people that knew back in my financial advisor days that don't even talk to me today. You know, even though I've tried to connect, they won't. And it's purely because that my scarcity rubbed them wrong. And granted, mine their scarcity too. I'm not taking their personal responsibility out of this as well, but I mean, there was definitely people that had a bad impression of me in the past. I'm really happy when I can help change that impression, because, you know, we're all growing, we're all imperfect, we're all trying to become better. We're trying to do something good. So let me kind of, as we're wrapping this up, I want to finish with this, because I want you to get some real tactable, I don't even know if that's a word, really good strategies for you to use, some good methods you can use here. I was on a radio show recently, a podcast radio show called Entrepreneur on Fire, John Dumas. Amazing show, oh my goodness, and so grateful I did that show, and it was even his book on Entrepreneur as well. And in that show, at the very end of the interview, he asked me, he said, Chris, let me ask you a question. If I were to put a planet similar to Earth where you knew no one, I dropped you on this planet, I gave you $500 and a laptop, what would you spend your first 7 days doing? And I thought for a second. I said, you know, when I launched Money Ripple about a year and a half ago, I said I would do the same thing, but even faster. Because what I did when I launched Money Ripple is I went in and I started with other people. The people that I knew were speakers and trainers and coaches, people that I wanted to get to know, but I didn't, you know, either have the bandwidth at the time or just didn't have the courage. And and all of a sudden having a brand new company got me to be a little bit more courageous. And I said, you know what I would do with $100? I said, that's easily probably about, 15 meals, give or take. So I'm like, I would really take 2 meals a day, give or take, maybe 3 on a few days. And I would spend that first week just having lunches and dinners or, going on hikes or whatever it might be, like just going with those people and hanging out and really getting to know them. And when I would show up in those lunch meetings, and by the way, this is actually my kind of secret sauce of developing relationships, so I would pay close attention here, is that when I go to those meetings, whether it's an hour or 2 hours, whatever it might be, I show up purely to figure out how I can serve them. How can I serve them? And so even in this discussion, naturally, the question will always come up, well, Chris, what are you working on? What are you doing? Especially as I'm talking to them the whole time about their stuff. I mean, now people want to not feel one-sided, especially if there's somebody who's of real value. I can say, no, well, how can I serve you? And a lot of times I might say things like, you know what, don't worry about that right now, or, I'm glad you asked that question. Here's all I want. And a lot of times I might say things like, I'm looking to connect with other business coaches or trainers, people in that front where they don't like to teach about the money piece, or they have a hard time because people keep telling them they want to pay for their services but can't afford it. Connect me with them because I'm the one that can help them find the money to pay for their stuff. I'm definitely the advocate for the entrepreneur. If there's people that feel like they're making more money but they don't know where it's all going because they feel like they're making more but it's still running out, those are the people that are just golden for me. They feel like they've got a lot of debt, they don't know how to manage it, but they feel like more than enough money. People like that, I'm like, connect me, that'd be great. And they say, okay, cool. I'm like, but let's get back to you. How can I serve you? What more can I do here? And a lot of times, some of those people, like they'd say, connect with these people, or hey, do you know this person? Or here's something I'm struggling with right now. And I'll try to see if I can connect them. I love connecting people together. I love being a matchmaker. Not like Fiddler on the Roof, where I wish we were a rich man, nothing like that, right? But, but more like just how I can go about, filling a need. How can I be a friend first? And those are the best relationships. And it doesn't always work. I mean, sometimes I get people that just do not want to reciprocate this time, or maybe they do just love the fact that they can take. But I typically don't. I find that I really don't attract those people too often. Even when those people try to come to me, they usually hit a brick wall. I tell you, I wish that more people, if we were going to lunch or if we're going just to hang out or wherever it might be, I wish more people would seek more of trying to figure out ways to add value back to me instead of just spending 2 hours talking about themselves. And it didn't have to be busy. It could just be, hey, what's going on in your life? Just talking, just getting to know each other on a personal basis. If you would spend more time just trying to get to know a person on a personal level, you'll find that when it comes time to want to use a service, want to think of someone who might, if somebody else is asking them, who do you know that can help with blank, a lot of times they'll think of you if you're the person that's really connected and created a friendship first. And so don't be afraid to invest in lunches or dinners. Don't be afraid to go and do something. I've gone with some people. We've gone running together. We've gone hiking together. I love doing that kind of stuff. I love outdoors type stuff, especially this time of year. It might be something as simple as, just hanging out, playing. It could be going to see a movie or whatever. I mean, try to find ways to connect with people on a different level. Don't just try to come at them like from a purely business meeting. When you do that, people get irked. And I can tell, I'm sure if you get irked by that stuff, they'll be irked by you if you do the same thing. So how can you show up and serve and really focus when you're meeting with them for the first time? Focus on what they really want. What are the things they're – listen to them and see what they're really asking for. What are things that they feel like they need? If you walk away from that meeting and don't have a good sense of what they need, there's probably an issue, or you probably didn't search enough. So find ways to serve them. Find ways to be with them. Or even if you don't know, to say, I don't know if I have an answer for that yet, but let me look into it. Let's see if I can find some things, and then follow up on it. One of my friends, Tiffany Pearson, will always say that fortune is in the follow through, and that's so true. That if you truly try to find ways to keep that relationship going, don't just build a lot of relationships, but build some good, deep, meaningful relationships. It's really hard to not see the kind of result that you really hope for when you do networking type of stuff, and that is the point. That's the whole point of this, is that stop going to networking events just to try to meet tons of people and trying to pass out your business cards, and then you have to print them like every few months or whatever it might be. The number of business cards you pass out, I'll tell you what, I mean, they're going to end up in the garbage can for the most part anyways, or they're going to end up buried under other business cards. I mean, you're basically competing with everybody else with business cards. But the one space that most people never compete on that gives you an advantage is a space of creating true, meaningful relationships, true friendships, friendships that they know where you're looking to provide value for them too. They'll want to naturally provide value back. And don't think that this doesn't work, because I'll tell you, one relationship can mean $1 million or more. In fact, you know, final story here. I had, you know, with the previous company I was with, we were in a real tough time in 2008 and going into 2009. I mean, the company was on the verge of folding, just going under. And I remember, like, we finally got ourselves to a good mental headspace. And what happened is just through a series of connections, eventually we got connected to a guy that was a chiropractic coach. And that chiropractic coach, because at that time I was just starting to add the cash flow process, and he started to refer a few people. Those people, I remember one of the first guys he referred, I was able to find over $100,000 that year from between tax savings and cash flow leaks and everything else. And that guy started raving. He started telling all of his clients, and then he started telling other coaches, and they started telling their clients. And next thing we know, that one relationship created more than $5 million for our company. $5 million. From almost going under to $5 million. And just from one single relationship that branched out to many more. That is the power of relationships. That is the power of building something that's truly about a value creation type of relationship, not a value vampire relationship. You're not there to suck value and just take value from people. You're there to give it. And then the natural result is that you get reciprocity. That's what I'm challenging you to do this week, is focus on building good, meaningful relationships. Next week, join us. We're going to talk about, does God want you to be rich? And I'm going to tell you that it's not what you think it is. So join us next week. Have a prosperous and abundant day and week. We'll see you.